The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan. Russ, I got two arms in the air. I am excited. We're celebrating today.
Man, we are looking at a mountain chart going up and to the right and has nothing to do with Wall Street, bro.
It is off of Wall Street, without Wall Street. Yes, we're talking about you. We're talking about the fact that you have been listening to our podcast and it is blowing up.
When you say blowing up, what does that mean? Because sometimes people have no idea how many other people like themselves are sitting there riding down the road listening to this podcast. Joey, tell them.
Let's just say this. Yesterday, we had 852 downloads when we wouldn't have 852 downloads in a week just 90 days ago.
It is amazing.
Is that crazy?
I am so thankful for you that you listen to this podcast over and over and over. And just like those podcasts, today will not disappoint. And the reason we started off talking about this is because we set out a long time ago with a focus to deliver a message to you that was going to help you get to where you wanted to go. But we had a vision of where we wanted to take it. And today's guest, we're sitting down talking to Coach Michael Burt. If that name sounds familiar, that's because he spoke on Grant Cardone's 10X stage just this year.
Yeah, this is the guy that he is well known for. He's going to tell you in this episode to activating your prey drive. Okay, Russ, do your best to explain
that. Prey drive. I did have to ask that question because you think about prey, but he was talking about that animal instinct, that desire, the absolutely, I've got to get it. I want to make it happen. Desire within somebody to become a person of interest.
Now, so you may be sitting here and you're running on the treadmill. You're going to run faster just listening to this podcast. Or maybe if you are sitting on the couch, you're going to be standing by the end of this interview because this guy knows how to encourage you and transform your mind to say, I'm going to go run through this wall right now.
Well, when you have somebody who's written as many books as he has, one of the ones that we talk about a lot on the podcast today is going through the person of interest, but he's talked also about how to have a mindset of a monster, getting inside the mind of a monster. And that is just someone who, to me, when you think about entrepreneurs, we are monsters. We have a confidence. We have a desire to get where we're going, and we are going to make it happen. Today's podcast, you're going to get the 7 ingredients, and he throws in an extra one at the end. I don't know if you caught that, Joey.
Uh-oh.
The 7 ingredients, how to become a person of interest, and how he himself came from being just a little old basketball coach who then grew to pretty good success to where he won at the highest levels within the women's basketball high school ranks there in Tennessee, to now traveling the world in a jet and being brought onto stages like Grant Cardone's, sitting there talking to people like Jordan Belfort,
Ed Milet, Tim Story,
Damon Johns. Yeah. I mean, just the name goes on and on and on. I was trying to wait to see if you're going to throw in something there, but okay. Anyway, you're going to love this podcast because it does exactly what we're all trying to accomplish, how to become a person of interest. And it's just, man, it's just gratifying to see our numbers today. As we look at the podcast, we see yesterday we had almost 900 people downloading the podcast. And it's like, man, Joey, we're starting to become people of interest. And it's just because of you listening to this podcast.
Yes, every day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if you are tired of having to run after the next client or person, this podcast is for you. You need to listen. Let's jump right in our interview with Coach Michael Burke.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you're like, man, I love what you guys are talking about. I want to build passive income through one of these five pillars that you're talking about. But how do I do it? Stallion, tell them. It is so easy.
So easy that we created the longest URL possible. So you may want to write this down. Freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and you can set up your call with one of us. We're excited to talk to you.
Welcome. We are in for a treat today. We have Coach Michael Burke on the show with us today, man. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I like the banter between you. I'm excited about being with you.
Man, this is going to be a lot of fun dealing with the coach, right? He may have to pick sides at some point between us. I know, Joey, we tend to go after each other pretty hard. So I'm interested to know more, and I'm interested because you have some fascinating topics that you coach people on. And one of the main topics that we've been learning about is how to become a person of interest. So I'm excited about this show, Coach. I want to learn how to become a person of interest. I want to become someone people are chasing instead of someone who chases. So tell us a little bit, though, kind of the backstory of why this became such a passion project of yours to start thinking about how do I become a person of interest?
Well, you know, from 19 to 31, I was a high school basketball coach. I became the head coach, the youngest head coach in Tennessee at 21 or 22. And when you do things at a young age, you're kind of get noticed and you get attention. Like, what's this kid doing? And so I had no formal business background. When I retired at 31 years old after winning a championship, I think I had written 4 to 5 books at that time. I was speaking, but it wasn't a business yet. And then I start this business, this coaching business, right? I've got no explanation of service. I've got no selling system. I've got no 7-touch follow-up. I don't know how to optimize referrals. I don't know how to be a person of interest. Like, I've gone from being very successful over in this arena to just nobody in this arena, right? Like, I'm starting at ground level. So I went out and did what everybody is told to do, which is, I want you to think about this. What is everybody told to do? Join the local chamber, hand out business cards, chase people. You know, talk to 100 people a week. What are we supposed to talk to them about? Don't matter. Just talk to people, right? That's kind of the advice that I was getting. And I love this one. I'd go to real successful people because I interviewed 46 of the most successful people in my market when I retired, because that was one of my strategies. Sit down with the successful people and ask them what they did. They would use very vague things like, you know, get your name out there. You got to get your name out there. And so I joined the local chamber only to find out that people at the chamber were more interested in drinking wine than doing business.
Right.
And found out that none of the people at the chamber had any money to pay for my coaching services. I got the business cards. I handed it out. And guys, I chased people. That's what I felt like I was doing. And although I was getting some speaking gigs and growing my business a little bit, it wasn't working the way I wanted it to. And out of frustration, and I believe frustration is just misguided enthusiasm. Okay. Out of frustration, I was sitting with my real estate agent, who's one of my best friends. We go to breakfast every Saturday morning at the Cracker Barrel. And I said, man, I'm so sick of chasing people and trying to convince people and try to sell people that they need a coach in their life. For God's sakes, how do you know you don't need a coach? Every major performer in the world has a coach. Every major athlete has a coach. Every major celebrity, every great Olympian has a coach. Like, why don't people understand this? And I finally just said, I wrote 3 words down on a napkin, person of interest. I want to become the buyer versus the seller. I want people chasing me. That's what I told him. And that initiated this concept of me studying people of interest and ultimately writing the book, Person of Interest. So it was out of frustration. I think most good ideas come out of frustration. So to me, that's where this story originated.
So tell me more about that. So obviously it came from frustration of not wanting to have to chase others. What were some of the other things that you thought of when that idea of person of interest came to your mind? What were some of the other characteristics that you thought of? Man, this is what I'm really after.
What I'm really after is to become a must-have versus a nice-to-have. What I'm really after is to become so in demand that my phone is ringing, my schedule is booked. Matter of fact, we have to have a person that does nothing but spend all day long trying to get it all in. And we measure how many incoming requests I get a day. It's about 30 to 40 per day right now, which means, you know, in a given week, let's say it's 40 times five, you know, what is that, 200 a week? If you add that up, you know, that's a lot of incoming demand, right? But mm-hmm. still, I'd like for it to be 100 a day, 1,000 a day. I imagine Tom Cruise sitting in Hollywood and his agent is bringing him scripts and he's looking at those scripts and he's going, nope, I don't want to do that. Nope, I don't want to do that. Nope, I don't want to do that. Oh yeah, I want to do that one. And I know I said I was 20 million last time, but tell him I'm 25 million this time. And he gets it, right? Because they know what? They're going to make 300 million. If he does one more Mission Impossible, what number is he on? Like 50? Now, here's my point. And every time I watch that, every time I watch Mission Impossible, I'm like, dang, this dude's good. He's that good. Okay. So he's in demand. Now, when he first went to Hollywood, he was not in demand. He was a nobody. He had to, you know, scratch and claw to get a role and to get in there and prove that he was good. So this is a natural cycle. I believe there is no easy money before there's hard money. And I believe there is no being great unless you put the work in. And that's typically, as we have heard, 10,000 hours of dedicated practice with deliberate coaching, with getting better. So to me, the person of interest is a master of what it is they do. And they're so good, their reputation precedes them. They are in demand. So if I said, who's the number one guy in the whole state of Alabama at building wealth? You want to be that person. You want to be that name. You're not in the field. You are the field, if that makes sense. That's person of interest.
Well, no, you broke it out, because I think one of the things I always think about, what's the obstacle? What's the thing standing in our way from achieving what we really want? And maybe the first thing is getting really clear on what you want. So when you define person of interest, you didn't stop there. You really started breaking it out. What does a person of interest really look like? Defining the fact that I want to have somebody that's full time having to answer the phone for all the requests. You start envisioning what that looks like. And I think that's a problem that we have sometimes as entrepreneurs, is like, man, I want to do something.
How powerful is that, though? How powerful is that to actually write that down and visualize what that looks like so that then you know what success looks like? Because being a person of interest could be just a very generic term, but once you put specifics to it, now you have something that you're aiming
at. And you want to be a person of interest, not somebody who's interesting looking, right?
Yeah, I'm already there.
I know. You walk through the mall and the parents are like, kids, no.
Interesting is one of those words that could go both ways. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, that guy's interesting. You know, it could be positive or negative. So, you know.
We think about that. When we are talking with people, they go, man, that concept of infinite banking, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it can go different ways. But when somebody hears about infinite banking from someone else and they go research, where's the best place for me to learn about infinite banking? And they see Wealth Without Wall Street, they go, oh, wow. Now, these are interesting people. And they hear you on there and they're like, man, that guy must be interesting. All right, so let's get off us and back onto the topic. I apologize for that, Coach. We get diverted. We have shiny object syndrome constantly. So I'm you're sitting there in the Cracker Barrel. You're writing these words down, person of interest, and you start envisioning all of these things. Okay, now you got the path, but now you have to start overcoming some of those obstacles. Talk to us a little bit about what you did during that process.
Well, when you think about becoming a person of interest, the first thing I did is go to people who had shown a demonstrated capacity to become people of interest. Think of people of interest as they're doing fascinating things. They're going to fascinating places. They're hanging around fascinating people. That's why we're so intrigued by the Elon Musk of the world. I mean, the dude's trying to put a human on Mars, right? He's trying to create new vehicles and using energy. And he's, you know, we're fascinated by presidents of the United States, because how hard is it to become president? We're fascinated by people that do big things. We're fascinated by John Wooden because he won 10 championships. We're fascinated by Michael Jordan because he could score 63 points. So you got to start asking yourself, what do these people have? What are the ingredients of these people of interest, right? And so I began to define what they had. They had a very specific knowledge. They didn't have generic knowledge. They had specific knowledge, like the infinite banking concept. You've got a very specific knowledge, a very
like a niche.
Yeah, it's a niche. Okay. Like I want to be known. I want to be known at this point in my life as the number one activator of prey drive in the world, which prey means, drive. Yes, prey drive is prevalent in animals, specifically dogs, canines. It is an instinctual ability to see something and go get it. Hmm. Well, this is what salespeople need to have, right? And as I've been looking back over my career, what am I really, really good at? What could I be the number one guy in the world at? Well, my whole life since I was 15 years old, I've been activating that drive in people. First, it was in basketball players. Now it's in business people. But when you ask people that I have coached, what have I done for them? Even my own wife, they would tell you that you activated a curiosity and a hunger in me that I had never had in my lifetime. Well, that's prey drive, instinctual ability to see something with the mind or optically with the eyes and have the fortitude, the intensity, and the persistence to go get it. So that's a little niche for me that I can say when people are looking at me to speak at their conferences, we have branded me as he is the number one activator of prey drive in people in the world. Now, what CEO doesn't want this activated in their people?
No. Well, you mentioned a word there too, curiosity. How vital is that?
To me, the curiosity is not activated until the prey drive is activated. See, the prey drive is activated by exposure. I didn't know something. Let's just take the infinite banking concept, which I'm familiar with. If I didn't know it, okay, I wasn't exposed to it. I may not have any curiosity about it. But if now that I'm exposed to it or enlightened to it, that means shine light on darkness. Now my curiosity is like, well, how could this work? That's interesting. Tell me more about that. So to me, the prey drive activates the curiosity, which activates the hunger to go do something or go get something, right? And for many people, it's knowledge. Like I didn't know. Like I was talking, I did a podcast today with a guy who has become a master at buying like old Kmarts, these 50,000 square foot buildings. Mm-hmm. He's using them for his computer business, but the way he built it, the knowledge he had was intriguing. It's like, okay, I can get this. I can put 10% down. I can rent 49% of it. I can own 51% of it. I can get into it for free. Like it's a pretty fascinating deal, right? But by him talking about it, it kind of activated my prey drive about it. Like I'd like to go learn more about it. So for you, think of a person of interest as they've got a very specific knowledge based on their unique past, based on their unique mentors, based on their unique experiences, and typically based on their unique education. So knowledge, specific knowledge is a characteristic of a person of interest.
Well, let me stop you real before you keep going. To me, I'm almost thinking, all right, so what if someone's listening to this and they say, yeah, the idea of being a person of interest makes sense. Like who wouldn't want to be that, right? But is there a limiting belief maybe that someone says, man, how could I be that? I mean, I'm not really that person. Like, who wants to hear my expertise? Do they even believe they have an expertise? So is that what you're saying, is that the prey drive really, you have to initiate that before you can even get rid of some of those negative feelings or thoughts?
Absolutely. Because one of the characteristics of a person of interest is contagious confidence. Okay. They have a confidence that they can spread to another person. There's a transfer of confidence. Well, you can't give away what you don't have. So there's a lot of people that's going to look at this concept and go, well, yeah, that's reserved for that person. Like I had one person tell me, well, it's easy to be a person of interest. Just make a bunch of money. You make a bunch of money, people think you're a person of interest. And I'm like, okay, but there had to be some way that you made a bunch of money. And it's most likely because you had some special skill set. Are you a great negotiator? Can you take complicated concepts and make them simple? What about your unique past has prepared you to help other people build their future? Like me being a championship women's basketball coach was the best thing that could prepare me for coaching adults. I had to take people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all types of diversity, rich kids, poor kids, and I had to teach them a system on how to win. Well, that system is what helps me teach people how to inner engineer people today, okay? Because of what I learned during 10 years of building, of doing it, right? So that has uniquely positioned me against my contemporaries. Because I can say, man, that dude's not a coach. How many championships has he won? How many teams has he built? Like, would you rather have him coaching you or me coaching you, who's actually won a championship, who actually knows how to build people? So it's a huge, unique selling proposition for me versus somebody that woke up one day and said, I'm a business coach now. And so to me, people of interest have very specific knowledge. and they have impeccable skills. That would be the second piece, is they have skilled up.
So that, yeah, I want to dive into that. So you mentioned to us kind of, as we were talking before, that there's these seven ingredients. So are these the first two of those seven ingredients? All right, let's go through the rest of them. What's the third ingredient that you find?
Before we get on to that, Russ, come on now. You can't go past this. So when you said they skilled up, somebody hears that, sounds pretty simple, but what do you add to that? How does somebody do that?
Great question. So when you're thinking about skilling up, I'm going to give you an example. If I wanted to go from earning, let's say I was earning $500,000 a year and I wanted to earn $1 million a year personally, let's just say, this is going to come in one of these four areas. Is it knowledge that I don't have that I need? Is it skill that I don't have that I need? Is it desire that I don't have that I need? Or is it confidence that I don't have that I need? See, all people of interest have those four ingredients: knowledge, skill, desire, and confidence. So when I'm coaching a person, and if you come to me and says, man, I would like to make $1 million a year and I'm making $500,000, I would say, well, let's go to work on one of these four dimensions of your nature. And if we determine that it's skill, okay, you don't have the skills you need, i.e. you can't open a conversation, you can't build rapport, you don't know how to do discovery, you can't build momentum toward a close, you're scared to ask for the business. These are skills. We can teach you these skills. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay. But you got to be willing to pay for it. Like, I'm sending my executive assistant to executive assistant school. I'm sending my negotiator who handles my speaking engagements to the Harvard Business School of Negotiation. I'm sending my COO to operational school. I'm sending my accounts receivable person to learn under the top accounts receivable people. I'm sending my salespeople to some of the top salespeople. Why? Because I understand that to be a person of interest, your skills have to be impeccable. They have to be strengthened. So that's what I would tell you on that. Here's the sad part. Most people don't have the courage to spend any money on themselves to enhance their skills. So I'm making the same amount of money 3 years ago as I am today. Why? I can't figure out why. Why can't the real estate agent sell more houses? Why can't the mortgage originator do more loans? Why can't the financial advisor get more clients? Okay. And I'm coaching two guys right now that manage $6 billion of money. Two guys. They compete against all the big boys, all the big girls. They're in Houston, Texas. They're incredibly good. But when I started coaching them, they were averaging picking up one new client a year. That's 12 clients a year, right? That sounds average for a lot of financial advisors, wouldn't we say? Okay. Yeah. And I said, if we could just get you to three, you're good. You're managing people who have a net worth of $4 million and above, or companies that have $20 million or more, and they're managing big pension funds and this kind of things. I'm like, you guys are incredibly good, but you really don't work hard enough. Like, it's not your knowledge. It's not your skill. It's like you're not asking for referrals. You're not seeing another person when you're in a city visiting your clients. You're not doing dinner parties. You're not doing things to pick up. Now, in the very first month, I moved them from one client to three clients. If I do that for the entire year, I've helped them pick up 24 more clients. That's a pretty significant bump for 1 year with a coach doing the kind of work they're doing. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like skill. It ain't skill with those guys. They know how to do it, man. When they get in front of people, they're good. It ain't knowledge. They've got the knowledge. What they don't really have is, I need you to put in a little bit more effort. If you want to earn more income, if you want to grow, one of them's 74 years old, and he hired me because he said, I want to take it to another level, which is inspiring, right? So we just got them doing some simple things as it relates to desire. They got the confidence. So when you're looking at skilling up, many times that's the problem, is your skills are not strong enough. Your income is in direct proportion to your skill set.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, what's number three?
Desire, knowledge. So think about it this way. Person of interest has specific knowledge. They've got impeccable skill. They've got incredibly high prey drive. They've got incredibly high desire. They have a willingness to do what no other people will not do. They have the willingness to go the miles other people won't go. They have the willingness to come in early and stay late. Here's what's interesting. All the wealthy people I coach work as if they're poor. They live by this model. It all goes to zero at midnight. I go to bed tired and I wake up hungry. There comes a time when winter asks what you did all spring and summer. Like, their desire is so strong. It's all the broke people I coach. They go to bed as if they're rich and work as if they're rich. It's the craziest thing in the world I've ever seen. Like, I coach multiple people that earn, you know, several million dollars in personal income. And I've coached people that have earned 33 to 35 million a year personally in income. And I watch how they work. Bill Gates gets up and goes to work every day. He's the wealthiest person in the world. And he gets up, if you watch the documentary on Bill Gates, inside Bill's brain, he goes to work every day. He gets up, he gets dressed, he goes to work. This is the wealthiest guy in the world, right? Mm. They work, man. They work. So when you're thinking about this concept, knowledge, skill, high prey drive, okay? That's the third one. The fourth one is confidence, contagious confidence. Contagious confidence. Confidence is an internal knowing that you can create or manifest something you see in your mind. So tie confidence to courage. Courage is the willingness to confront uncertainty. It is the willingness to do things that frighten you. Well, people of interest make big bets. They make big decisions. They got big time guts. You know, I was coaching a big home builder during the recession who was multi-millionaire, and they were averaging selling sometimes 70 homes a month. During the recession, when he hired me, they were selling 4 homes a week. 12 homes a month. Mm-hmm. Our goal was to only lose $500,000 that year. When he hired me, he said, if we can just not lose any more than $500,000 this year, it's a win, coach. That's why I'm hiring you. And I coached that guy, and he would walk in. He held money to 43 different banks. He was leveraged by 43 different banks. All the banks wanted their money during the recession. They were all calling him. And we put them all in a room one day. And he stood up in front of that group of people and said, if I go down, every one of you go down with me. So we can either do this together. And here's my plan. I brought in this coach. Here's our plan to sell houses. Here's what we're going to do. And he sold them on, look, we're doing it. We're going to do it together. And if you'll bet on me, you're going to be glad you bet on me. That dude made $33 million this year. He made over $100 million the last 4 years. And he would walk in, this in a city outside of Nashville, selling $279,000 homes to the average American, right? He would walk in and look at something, a decision, and a multi-million-dollar decision, and look at it for 2 minutes and go do it, go buy it. And I was like, man, like, do we need to pray about it? Do we need to? You're scaring me to death, man.
Let's bow our heads.
Yeah. But here's the deal. That dude had courage. He had a confidence about him, which is why he's made over $100 million the last 4 years, selling a pretty low product to the average American.
Well, one of the things you're talking about there in confidence, and it's something Joey, you and I talk about on the podcast all the time, is the first place you invest in is where?
Yourself.
Yourself. Right. And once you invest in yourself, you start to get really comfortable with yourself. You start to understand, as you're talking about skilling yourself up, getting to a point where your knowledge level is increasing, you get really confident in those areas you're making decisions. I think where people are unconfident is when they're making decisions in areas they have no understanding of. This guy, as you're talking about, he's making decisions in an area that he knows a ton about. He's got that 10,000 hours you're talking about. He's making decisions where he knows, yes, there's risk, but the risk is in a controlled environment that he is a part of the control feature of.
Well, and coach, you may not know this, but we talk a lot on this show about the Wall Street mindset. And what is that? Part of that is we have so many people that come into the community and they don't know what in the world they want to invest in because they've been trained to abdicate that to somebody else. Hmm. You know what? I'm going to hand money over to this money babysitter, and they're going to manage it for me, and I'm not smart enough to do something on my own. I'm not smart enough to invest in real estate or lending or my own business or whatever it might be. So I think what you're saying here really resonates with our audience is we have to have that confidence that we can produce a much higher result than just walking away and leaving that in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, absolutely. And I think, well, let's go back to these ingredients of people of interest. And I see this a lot because we coach a lot of people in the financial services industry. And I would tell you, as a person who for a decade of my life didn't have any money, didn't make any money, right? I was making $24,000 a year as a high school basketball coach at my highest point when I was the number one coach in Tennessee and probably one of the top 5 coaches in the country. I was making $60,000 a year. Wasn't making a lot of money. So when I did start earning a high income and I did start producing millions of dollars, man, I got all kinds of advice about what to do with it.
I bet you did.
And the worst thing was the confusion, guys. Confusion is a problem that appears to have no solution to it. That's a definition of confusion. And I tell the financial advisors I coach or the financial strategist, the number one thing you got to do is eliminate confusion. Because here's the reality. I've coached some of the top whole life producers in the world. I'm talking to big boys. They are so good, they can convince you that that is the number one place to put all of your money. Everybody with me? Then I've coached some of the top diversified people in the world who think you need to diversify. They can convince you you need to diversify. Then I've coached some of the top real estate people, and they can convince you to put all your money in real estate. Now, where does that leave the average cat out there in the world who's got a little bit of money? Confused. And so then you read all. So one day I was doing a presentation for financial advisors, and I brought in all of the books I had either purchased or had been given to me on what to do with money. And it was crazy. I had like 10 or 15. And I said, this dude told me to do this. And I throw it over there in the floor. And this dude told me I need to do this, which is the exact opposite of what that dude told me. And then I throw that over the floor. And I said, by the time I went through all these books, like read Tony Robbins' book, and I was more confused about money than anything on the book he wrote about money. Everybody with me? And I know he was trying to do something good. But at the end of the day, guys, people of interest are masters at cutting through confusion. Mm. They are masters at taking something complicated and making it simple. That's and right. Coach, you're earning this much money. You want to have this much money 12 years from today and this much money here. Here's exactly what I think you need to do. Let me show you why you need to do it. And I understand that you hear this and I understand you heard this. And let me show you the pros and cons of both of these. Like, I think this is a big concept for all the financial people that listen to you, man. We got to deconfuse people. Like they're confused. They feel like there's a problem that has no. So what do? They end up doing nothing.
That's right.
Or they end up putting money in something they have, like as you said, right? Nothing. They don't know anything about it. And so now somebody's babysitting their money, and they can't figure out why. And they can't figure out why it's not working. So people of interest have this confidence about them. Now, why do they have confidence? Because they got specific knowledge, incredible desire, impeccable skill, and the confidence and the courage is a caboose to those three things. That's why they need those things. So those are the first four ingredients of people of interest.
All right, let's talk about number five here.
All right, this one I really, really like. And it's hard to explain, but it's likability. All right, now let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to use another word than likability.
Teach Russ for sure. He was asking me this before the show.
Yeah, this is a secret reason.
How can we make Joey likable? That's what I was asking him.
This is going to be some good coaching for you guys. The likability is energy. It's an openness. Like when you study personality styles, there's open and guarded, and you start understanding this person is guarded and this person is open. But the reality is I have never gone wrong by walking into any room and smiling and being friendly and meeting and greeting people and hugging on people and being nice. And I went to a party the other night that I had a lot of trepidation about going to, because in my hometown, I know it sounds odd, but I get treated the worst. In my hometown. I know if you heard that story before, you understand.
Just like Jesus.
No worries. And so when I go to other places in the country, they line up for me to sign their books, and I'm hugging them and they're crying, and it's just amazing. And I really travel all over the country. And then I come back to my hometown where I was a high school basketball coach. And some people are not friendly to me here. And maybe because I have a jet, or maybe because I live a different lifestyle now, maybe because I've been able to go out and do something. And I get kind of like, oh, you're too good for us, or who do you think you are? You're just that high school basketball coach. So I didn't want to go to this party. I told my wife, I said, I really have a lot of hesitation. People are always so rude to me, and they're just not very friendly. Man, I just don't want to deal with this the night before Thanksgiving. But it was my best friend's party, and there were 300 or 400 people there. And I told my wife, I said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be nice to every person that I see that night. I'm going to say something nice to every person. I'm going to compliment them. And for 3 or 4 hours, every person I talked to, I put my arm around them. I hugged them. I said, I'm proud of you. I noticed what you're doing. I saw on Facebook where you're doing this. You got so much confidence. And the very next day, my friend called me and said, man, what'd you think about the party? And I said, it's the best party I've ever been to. And I said, those people were so nice to me. And he's my best friend. So he said, do you think it has anything to do with how nice you were to them? And I said, absolutely. Now, that didn't cost me anything. Effort, right? So when you think about likability, think about energy. How hard is it to fire somebody you really like? Like, I got a dude right now that's one of my vendors. I need to fire him. My COO wants to fire him. My whole team wants to fire him. But I like the guy. You know, he's likable. I think he's a good person. You know, and he lacks in some areas. But I think if we told him, he would get better. And my point is, it's really hard to fire somebody you like. It's really easy to fire somebody you don't like.
That's right.
And so when you're thinking about this likability, when I am with big time people and I get the chance now to spend like with big time people, like in a given day, I may talk. Today, I was on the phone with Steve Sims, who's the Wizard of Oz, and I may be on the phone with Ed Mylett or Tim Grover or Tim Story. Like, these are big time people at the top of their game. And like,
guess Russ what? Morgan, Joey Murray.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, guys you guys like were next. I was about to mention.
Okay, I'm just making
but, sure. But my point is, when I'm with these big time people, you know, the number one thing I always take away, they know how to make you feel like $1 million. Mm. They are so good at focusing on you. Like, I think about Tim Story. He's so good. Like, he's coaching Oprah Winfrey and Denzel Washington and Kanye West, and he's out there in the world with these celebrities. And I had dinner with him the other night in Nashville, and he didn't talk about himself at all. He wanted to know, Coach, what are you doing? How can I help you? I'm so proud of you. I'm watching you do this. Like, they're so good at making you, like, when I'm with you, I feel good about me. And that is just a characteristic they have. That's an attribute they have. They're likable. And so I think most people of interest have a likability. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm a huge Nick Saban fan, and because I'm a coach. And I always say, a lot of people say Saban's not that likable, right? And they always ask me, like, how do you get by with, well, this is true that one of your other characteristics or ingredients can override one ingredient. So if your knowledge is so good and your skill is so good, sometimes it can compensate if you're not that friendly. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I actually think Saban can be friendly because I've seen him be friendly. And I think, but here's the deal. If he wins, if he loses 5 football games at Alabama and he's not likable, they will have no problem firing him, right? But if he loses 5 and they really like him, we had a basketball coach here at Middle Tennessee State University named Kermit Davis, who's now coaching at Ole Miss. And he won, you know, 60, 70% of his games for years. And everybody's like, man, why can't he win more than 20 games? And why can't he do this? But boy, we sure do like him. He comes to all the charity events and he's involved in the community and he's out there pushing and he's so positive when you're with him. And we just don't want to fire him. We just don't want to get rid of him because we like him so much. He became an incredible coach. He became the SEC Coach of the Year last year at Ole Miss. Now, my point is, what if he wasn't likable? He'd been out the door first couple losing seasons he had.
Gone.
So, yeah. To me, this characteristic is very critical. Some people become famous and then they become less likable. And I think that's sad because now they got more, now they're more people of interest than they were before.
That's right.
That's a characteristic.
What's the next one outside of likability? What do we need to have?
All right. Connectivity. Connectivity is a huge one. John Maxwell wrote a book called Everybody Communicates, But Few Connect. I think it's his best book out of 70 books. And I was spending some time with his president of his company last week, who was giving me some coaching. I actually paid him to coach me. And I was asking him during the coaching session, what makes Maxwell so good? And he said, Coach, he is a master at meeting people wherever they are in life. And he always jokes and says, I put the books on the first bookshelf, on the first level. And he said, when you go to dinner with John Maxwell, number one, if it was a new dinner with new people, he has already done his homework. He knows every person. He knows their background. He knows their story. He knows how to connect to them. When you have dinner with him, there is no small talk. He goes around the group and he asks hard questions. What's the toughest thing you've ever been through? What's the biggest thing? And he said, the discussions are so incredible. He said, when you're in a car with him and you're driving 10 minutes down the road, he's prepared 5 to 10 questions to ask you. He said he is a master at connecting to people. He was so good that he spoke for the Pope, and the Pope hired John Maxwell to coach him and his team for 7 days. Now, here's why I want to substantiate this. When I first met Maxwell and we were going to lunch together in my home city, guess what? When he first met me, he had never met me before. I was a young author that had written 3 or 4 books. And he shook my hand and he said, hey, Coach Burt, it's so good to see you. I've been looking at all of the books that you've written, and I specifically like that one called This Ain't No Practice Life. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Now, here's a guy who sold 30 million books. He comes to lunch with me. I'm just a little bitty dude just getting started. I've got a few books out in the market, and he knew something about every person at that table at lunch. Mm. He went around the room. Now, Bob, tell me about this. Now, I understand you've got 3 kids. Tell me about this. I mean, it was incredible. Now, here's the deal. They paid him $90,000 that day to speak. And it was 10 or 15 years ago, guys. Mm. And I was like, $90,000? Like, man, what is he going to tell us? It wasn't what he told us. It was how he connected with us. And I watched him do that all day long with a couple thousand people, by the way. So to me, a person of interest has a connectivity. Now, let me tell you guys why people don't do this. It takes work. Do you know how much work it takes to know that many people and remember names and talk to people? And it's so much emotional energy. But this is why the guy's doing, you know, X number of millions of dollars, selling X number of millions of books. It's not because there's groundbreaking information in those books. If you read those books, Maxwell writes the most simple books of any person out there, but it connects to millions of people. So connectivity is the next one. Then let's go through the last couple is deep networks. I think all people of interest have deep networks of people. Now, people ask me how I built deep networks. And I really just give you two points. One, I get lost in other people's dreams. I get lost. I help other people reach their dreams. Like my job is to help you manifest what you see in your mind, to activate your prey drive. And when you do that for another person, they have a deep loyalty to you. They have a deep respect for you. I mean, just you two guys think about this. How many people in your life have ever helped you find, develop, and cultivate your true talents that the good Lord gave you? How many people have really said, man, you got something special, and I want to help you develop that, and I'm going to be here for you. So the way you build networks is not by handing out business cards and going to networking events. It's literally helping advance other people's dreams. And when you do that, you're going to have all kinds of people helping you. Now, if you're real likable, you know, when I was talking to those people today, it's, hey, Coach Bird, I want to do something with you. I love your work. I'm so proud of you. So one way is get lost in other people's dreams. The other way is through association. I have built deep networks by first associating with big time people. So when I spoke at 10X to 10,000 people, people asked me consistently, I was one of the least known people on that stage. Damon John, Grant Cardone, Ed Mylett, all these famous people, and then old Coach Burt. And how did Coach Burt get on a stage in front of 10,000 people? Well, I actually started 7 years before that building a relationship with Cardone. Do you know how I did it? Through a podcast. I had a weekly radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. I interviewed some of the biggest people in the world. I was always prepared. I was always upbeat and positive. And man, I'd interview these people and they would go, man, we like you. Let's do something together. And then I would start building relationship with them and rapport with them. And so 7 years later, when he's having 10X, right? I'm like, do you think I'm good enough to speak at 10X? He said, yes, I do. And just a little side story is he said, but you know, your brand is not that big yet. I spent $4 million to get Mandalay Bay. I really need people who can sell tickets. And here's what I said, guys. I said, I want to be a giver and not a taker. Do you believe that I'm good enough to speak on that stage? And he said, yes. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If I pulled out my checkbook right now and I wrote you a check for $100,000 and I purchased 50 VIP tickets, would that guarantee me a spot to speak at 10X? And he said, I think we can make that work, Coach. Now, here's the point. I said, I'm not paying to speak. I'm not paying you to speak. I'm helping you make sure you earn your money back, okay? Because I'm not a big name yet. And I took those tickets and I repackaged them. I bought 50 VIP tickets. I went to my group, my audience, and I said, look, I want to take you with me to Las Vegas. I'm going to speak to 10,000 people at 10X, one of the biggest business conferences in the world. And I'm going to give you a year's worth of my coaching program. Plus 10X tickets. Plus we're going to do a big event at Mandalay Bay. Plus we're going to do this. And I resold those tickets for $5,000. And I sold 50 tickets in 6 months. So on my $100,000 investment, I generated $250,000. I made $150,000 on my investment of $100,000 in 6 months. And I spoke at 10X, which we probably generated close to $1 million more because of me speaking on that stage to those 10,000 people. So who was I betting on there? I was betting on me. And so people ask me, what did you do? And I said, well, I had to first come home and tell my wife I just wrote a $100,000 check to Grant Cardone. But here's the deal. One of the best moves I've ever made in my life, guys. Because guess who I got to meet when I spoke at 10X? Ed Mylett and Tim Story and Tim Grover and Damon John. Now, these are my friends. So my point is, the way you build deep networks is through association. Who are you working with? What kind of results are you getting? When people start seeing you get a lift, like, man, this dude's doing something with this. This dude's doing something with them. It drives up your person of interest score, okay? Now, final ingredient is what I call the free prize. And the free prize is something I get with you that I can't get with anybody else, right? It's like, man, there's something special about you. There's some add-on. There's some sweetener. There's some bonus. And that free prize in the old days, as men, we used to buy those bubble gum. We used to buy those baseball cards that had a little stick of bad bubble gum in there. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Hard as a brick.
Yeah, it was hard as a brick. And you'd buy that and have you buy it for the baseball cards. But hey, they threw the piece of gum in there for free. Right? Cracker Jacks. They used to put a little thing in Cracker Jacks. A Lucky Charms, they'd put a little trick in there. Many times when people buy my books online, and not only will I sign them, I will call the person that bought my book. And it shocks them. I'd be like, hey, this is Coach Burt. I noticed you just bought one of my books. They're like, is Coach Burt? Like the real Coach Burt? I'm like, yeah. And they said, no author has ever called me and thanked me for buying their books. And I said, man, I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking time. Thank you for going online. I signed your book for you. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put an extra book in there. And I'm going to give you a month of my coaching program for free. Just let you try it out. Does that sound good to you? Now, how do you think those people feel about me after I do that?
Love you.
That's a free prize.
Big fan.
Those are the ingredients of people of interest, guys. If you can master those things, your business and life is going to explode in ways you can't imagine.
Joey, I took copious notes, and we're going to work on you. We got a whole year, 2020, to work out all these things. I'll teach you the likability part. We're going to have to get together in some of these other areas. I think both of us are pretty confident. We have all the desire in the world. There's some things that we need to know about. And I would tell you, Coach Burt, this gentleman sitting next to me, I make fun of him all the time, but he makes me better every single day. There's nobody that has more likability. This guy is one of the people that you're talking about networking, and it's exactly what you said, is that he's always looking to figure out how to make somebody else better, how he can help them. The question he asks all the time is the biggest challenge you're facing today, and he tries his best to try to help him solve that problem. And man, everything that you just laid out is what somebody wants to become, and that is a person of interest. So, Coach, we've gone way over time, but I couldn't stop you. It was too awesome. Yeah, but you know what? I know, Joey, that we've only scratched the surface with Coach Burt, and we've got to dig deeper. So, Coach, are you willing to come into the community next week and do a Q&A with us and
Absolutely. Let
some people ask some of those questions? Maybe they want to figure out some of the things that's dealing that's they're harboring in their life that they need to figure out how to be better, how to be more successful. You willing to do that with them?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to.
Man, that's awesome. And if somebody is also looking for ways to connect with you outside of the community, maybe they haven't joined us yet. What's another way they can get in touch with you?
It's real simple. They can go to coachburt.com. That's COACHBURT, as in tiger.com. And we believe everybody needs a coach in life. I've got over 150 products that I've built over the last, 15, 20 years. Coaching programs, retreats. We believe with a good coach, you're going to perform at a much higher frequency in life. And we want to be the coach to millions of people around the country. So if you go there, you're going to get everything you need.
Well, we can't thank you enough for being willing to come on the show today. You have shared incredible knowledge, and your time is extremely valuable. So thank you for trading that for our audience to be able to learn from you. If you've been listening to this, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you on the next episode. Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question, and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This is a place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.